The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Monday to you. I know a lot of folks digging out in Florida and the Carolinas after the horrible hurricane there. And we've got a couple of updates to share with you. All I can tell you folks in Florida is thank goodness that you've got a governor like Ron DeSantis. I mean, that guy just all over the place and has really done a terrific job in dealing with the aftermath of this horrible storm. And we're going to play some great audio. The media is going, they're going ballistic. They're trying to figure out a way. They're scheming. And, you know, you have to imagine somewhere there's, I don't know, a collective where you've got all of the leaders of the networks and they're in some sort of a, I don't know, patchouli smelling back room, smoking the doobies, and they're trying to figure out, how do we get this guy? How do we get this DeSantis guy? We got to destroy this guy. How do we do it? And they're trying, and they're failing. It's like Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. And of course, DeSantis is Roadrunner, and then you've got the mainstream media, Wile E. Coyote. Every time they think they finally got him, a giant Acme anvil falls from the sky. Plop right there on all of the media. It's a beautiful thing. Anyway, we're going to get to that story. New survey out, by the way. This is from my good friend Matthew Faraci. And they do a lot of great surveys from Convention of the States. Nearly 70% of you say skyrocketing food prices are motivating them to vote in the midterms. This, again, from the Convention of States. They say that grocery prices are really starting to hit Americans hard, even beyond the initial pinch they've been feeling due to inflation. And now they're saying that this is going to impact who they vote for in the midterm elections. Is that true? Are you the price of a jar of extra crunchy Jif peanut butter, is that going to decide who you vote for in the midterm elections? I'm curious to know that. 68.3%, according to the survey, say that the increase in the prices of groceries is impacting their motivation to vote in the 2022 election. That's it. I'm done. How dare I have to pay $12 for a jar of Skippy peanut butter? Oh, I don't like Skippy. Jif peanut butter. It's Monday. Bear with me. But it could be, that could be the issue. You know, there's always just this one thing, a bee in the bonnet, as we say on this program, a bee in the bonnet that drives people to get out there and go vote. Look, I don't care what it is, as long as you vote Republican on Election Day. But the starting off point today is from the state of Vermont. It is a bizarre story and one that we have on our website, toddstearns.com. Now, we've been covering the transgender movement for quite some time. As a matter of fact, we were covering it before many of the conservatives, the cool conservatives, were out there covering the story. As a matter of fact, I remember at Fox News, at the end, we were told, do not say, you can't write anything that's going to offend the transgender people. Can't do it anymore. Now, we believe on this program, and I want to set the record straight, we've got a lot of new listeners out there, and I want you to understand, we believe that God made male and female. God did that. Now, man came up with all these other variations, but we don't abide by that. We abide by what the Holy Bible says, God made male and female. Period. That's it. End of story. But that's not the end of story when it comes to the culture at large. And over the past several years now, we have seen a very ugly thing happening. And this is truly the war against women, biological women. And what society is now telling us is that if you are a woman, you don't have any rights. Society is also telling us that men make better women than biological women do. I mean, that's at the essence, that's the heart of the transgender movement, is that men make better gals than the gals do. And I only say this because President Trump, I thought, brilliantly illustrated this in one of his America First rallies or Save America rallies a couple of months back when he said, look, if he was in the WNBA, let's say that President Trump owned a WNBA team and he was the coach of that team and he had the ability to hire people like LeBron James. And as long as LeBron James identified as a woman, he would do it. And he said he would have a women's basketball team made up entirely of transgender athletes. And he would be the world champion. It would be the best women's basketball team of all history. And he's right. And why is that? Well, there's a reason why LeBron James is not playing in the NBA. There's a reason why women are not playing in the NBA. It's because they know that they are inferior to LeBron James. Now, I'm not. Now, Grace Baker is shaking her head over here. You're a basketball player, Grace Baker, and you know that when it comes to sports and athletics, men are stronger than women.
It's an unfortunate fact, yes. I could train for months. A guy could come in, you know, just eating hamburgers, whatever.
Smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer.
And he's going to be stronger than me. That's why I say it's unfortunate, because it's just a fact.
So here we have a story, Grace. This girls' volleyball team at Randolph High School in Vermont, and there's a transgender, so there's a boy on the girls' team. Now, under Vermont state law, they got to let this guy in the locker room and change. Literally, the girls are disrobing, and this kid is in there.
Yeah, no.
And so the girls did exactly what you just said. They're like, no, we're not going to do this.
No, I would never. And also, if I had like a daughter in that, like, I would never.
14-year-old boy.
No way.
And so anyway, they're saying, hey, look, we're changing. Can you leave? And so the guy just stands in the corner and watches them change.
Ew.
And disrobe.
That's so creepy on so many levels.
So the girls go, you know what? We've got it. I want to play the local news report here. And then we're going to come back and talk about this. I'm very curious. Do you have a problem with this? Here's in a nutshell, the girls complained and then they got punished. They were told that state law requires that young man be in this locker room. And these girls were kicked out of the locker room. And now all of the girls have to change clothes in a bathroom that has a single stall. Meanwhile, the transgender, the dude, the boy, gets the entire locker room to himself now. Let's play this local news report from Vermont.
Vermont education policy says that students can play sports and use whatever locker room corresponds with their gender. But some members of the Randolph girls volleyball team say that they object to having one of their transgender teammates be in the room while they change. I spoke to one of the girls.
It's a huge thing. Everyone's asking, like, so why aren't you allowed in the locker room? Like,
high school student Blake Ellen and her teammates are currently barred from using the locker room after some of the girls on the team objected to allowing a transgender player in the girls' locker room.
My mom wants me to do this interview to try to make a change.
Ellen says the dispute started when the trans student made an inappropriate comment while members of the volleyball team were getting changed. She says her issue is not with having the trans student on the team or at school, but specifically in the locker room.
Biological boys that go in the girls' bathroom, but never a locker room situation.
She says that fellow team members and parents have also raised similar concerns and have approached the school with them. They were told that under state law, the transgender student could use whatever locker room they identified with. In an email to families, school officials said that the school has plenty of space where students who feel uncomfortable with the laws may change in privacy.
They want all all the girls who feel uncomfortable, so pretty much 10 girls, to get changed in a single stall bathroom, which would take over 30 minutes, when if one person got changed separately, it would take a minute, like no extra time.
In the email to parents, school officials say they are conducting an investigation into allegations the girls harassed the transgender student.
Lisa Floyd, the co-principal of Randolph Union High School, declined to go on camera, but in an email told me that student safety was the district's highest priority, and that when policies are violated, disciplinary action consistent with the law will be taken.
We also reached out to the state education agency, but didn't get a response. AOE policy states in part that the use of restrooms and locker rooms by transgender students requires schools to consider numerous factors. But the policy goes on to state that a transgender student should not be required to use a locker room or restroom that conflicts with the student's gender identity.
So every girl, no one's allowed in the locker room, no volleyball girls, even during school to get changed for gym class, no one's allowed from volleyball.
And the school says that their decision to close the locker rooms and launch the investigation should not be seen as judgment on either side of the dispute, and say that they are continuing to work to create the safest environment possible for all of their students. Reporting in Randolph, Kiana Burks, Channel 3.
All right. So look, here's the deal. This is nuts. This is absolutely bonkers. But here's the reality of it. You will do what the LGBT activists tell you to do. That's it. That's why people are terrified to speak out here, except for this one brave young girl. By the way, some other students are speaking up, but they don't want to get their names. These girls that are on the team, the Daily Signal interviewed a couple of them, asked why she took issue with the trans identity student entering the bathroom. Female student A answered slowly, as if surprised. Like, what's wrong with you people? She said very clearly, it's a dude. It's a dude. He was born a boy. I don't care if he's on my team. He can join any team. I don't care. But when I'm undressing and there's a male in the girls' locker room or in the bathroom with me, I feel very uncomfortable. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the other shoe to drop. Apparently, they gave this kid the what for, and now the girls are under investigation by the school for discriminating against the transgender guy. Does this make any sense to you? Now, my question is, where are all of these brave conservative gay people? Why aren't you out there defending these young girls? Where's anybody out there in the LGBT community? And I suspect there are a couple of reasons here. First, and I don't know which one it is, because I hear from these people all the time, Todd, we're conservative, but we really just don't want to speak out because they'll come after us. Well, you know what? Get used to it, because they've been coming after us for decades now. But you got to stand up and do what is right. But the LGBT community, you know, and there are apparently a bunch of conservative LGBT folks out there, and they tell me they're conservative all the time. Why aren't you folks out there speaking out about this? You know, anytime someone raises a concern, and all of these girls are now being accused of being bigots and homophobes. No, these are just teenage girls that want to be able to dress in the privacy of their locker room without a 14-year-old boy oogling them. Yes, I said it, oogling. But nobody wants to say anything. Oh, yeah, they'll go after the Biden administration for this and that. But where are the conservatives on this issue? But they don't want to talk about it because they're terrified of the LGBT mob, which I still contend is a small but very loud and very powerful group of people. But I don't think they represent the entire LGBT movement. At least I certainly hope not. So here you have a situation in Vermont where these poor girls, these teenage girls, are now forced to cram themselves into a bathroom. And Grace, I have to imagine it's going to take them, I don't know, how long will it take every girl? I mean, you got, what, 10, 11 girls on the team?
Yeah.
One stall.
Yeah, that's going to take a while.
Meanwhile, you've got the transgender dude, and he's, what, sipping, I don't know, Baptist martinis in the girls' locker room all by himself.
Yeah. Very weird and very uncomfortable.
The transgender movement will literally destroy women's sports.
Oh,
period.
Yeah.
That's
one,
it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Bye-bye.
Where are all you feminists out there, by the way?
That's a good question.
All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Mom, Dad, what do you do? Would you allow your child, your daughter, to dress in a locker room with a boy present? I mean, this is happening all over America. Now it's happening in Vermont. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number. You can actually read the story for yourself over at our website, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back. Thanks to you great Americans, MyPillow is an amazing company. And Mike Lindell has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You get a standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, only $19.98. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products like MyPillow towels, mattress toppers, My slippers, so much more. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want but need. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 1-800-839-8506. Look, all I'm saying here, folks, is that boys can't be girls and girls can't be boys, period. And if you think you are one or the other, then you need to get your child some medical attention. That there is a diagnosis for that. But now society wants us to ignore science altogether. I mean, that's what's going on here. And the only people that are now suffering for this, truly, the only people that are suffering are, in fact, biological girls. Because I suspect biological boys, even those that identify as girls, thoroughly enjoy watching young girls undress in the locker room. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. Let's go to Maryland. Victor on the phone. Victor, what's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I was at the supermarket not too long ago, and the checker was asking me how my fiance was doing. And I said, oh, she's doing fine. She's working now. And this idiot in back of me started yelling at me and said I used the wrong pronoun in its presence. So I turned to him, and I said, hey, you, I wasn't talking to you, freak, so butt out of my conversation.
So somebody accused you of using the wrong pronouns?
Yes. And then he called me transphobic, and I said, how can I be a transphobic when I can't see you?
What do you mean by that? You can't see him?
I'm blind.
Oh dear.
So, well, you know, same thing, you know, I'm called a racist, and I say, how can I be a racist when I can't see you?
Well,
I mean, I am not politically correct at all.
Well, good for you, Victor.
And I will not put up with this baloney that's going on now. And I told a neighbor, I said, tell me, how do you like it to have somebody watch your daughter undress in a dressing room? Didn't answer me, just walked away.
Well, Victor, look, I appreciate your call, and you're right. We cannot tolerate this kind of behavior. We just can't do it. And I'm with you. I'm tired of being politically correct. I'm tired of staying silent. Well, we don't stay silent on this program, but I know some of you out there are. You get frustrated over this stuff. Don't be frustrated. Speak out. Speak your mind. We've got your back. We're going to stand up for you. And we've got some crazy stories coming down the pike on today's program, and they're going to blow your mind. But we are standing alongside every single one of these individuals. So you speak your mind. That's the reason why we're in the spot we are in right now. Quite frankly, every citizen in Randolph, Vermont needs to be at the local school board meeting. And if the school board puts up with this nonsense, you need to vote every single one of them out. That's what you got to do. We're dealing with this situation in the town I live in, Germantown, Tennessee. We have a lot of these sex and gender revolutionaries on the school board. Yes, no, I right here in conservative Tennessee. They're all over the place. It's an infestation. And what do? Well, we go and we vote and we vote them out. That's what we do. All right, we'll be taking your calls, 844-747-8868. Do you have a problem with boys playing on the girls' teams? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Hey, Todd, this is another example of when the gay mafia goes after your organization. They just want it to go away and be destroyed. Look at what they did to the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts are basically no more. They're just a shell of what they were. After the gay mafia went after them, they're doing the same thing with women's sports.
All right. Well, thank you, Rocco, for that comment. Rocco left us a shout out. You say, Todd, how do you do that? Very simple. All you have to do is go to our live show blog and click on our app. And if you download the app, you'll be able to send us a shout out like many of you do. Of course, we'd love for you to call in and have a conversation in real time. But if you're not able to do that, well, you can leave us a shout out. And again, ToddStearns.com. Live show blog, and we encourage you to download the big app. By the way, a violent weekend across the Fruited Plain in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. 8 Temple University students were robbed at gunpoint. As a matter of fact, we understand from police reports, 3 gunmen, one of them literally put a gun to the side of a student's head and threatened to blow their brains out if they didn't turn over all their wallets and phones and whatever. So according to the reports, they pretty much just took everything away from the college kids. Now, what's interesting about this is back in 2020, Temple University actually sided with the defund the police movement. So their argument was that police are bad, police are evil, police are racist, police are intentionally going after black people, and we got to defund them. And that's what they did. They actually stopped giving to a big police foundation, and there really was this antagonistic relationship between the university and the police department. Well, guess what's going on now, ladies and gentlemen? Turns out that Temple University has had a come to Jesus moment, and now they're begging the police to come back on campus and protect their kids. You know, the police are going to do it because that's in their DNA. I mean, they're going to protect anybody, even the lowlifes who run Temple University. But part of me says, you know what? Sorry, folks, you get what you asked for. You want to defund the police, you get what you asked for. Well, Fox News has the big story up on the crime. Chicago, rocked by another bloody weekend, dozens of people shot in the streets there. By the way, another defund the police city, another city run by Democrats, another city that has some of the toughest gun laws on the books. 34 people shot, including a 3-year-old. The 3-year-old shot dead. Unbelievable. According to the police, there were other children shot as well. The 3-year-old was riding in a car with his mom and 3 siblings when gunshots hit the boy. Police say it was a possible instance of road rage. And I don't know about you, but if you haven't got yourself a gun, If you haven't gone about whatever you need to do to get yourself a weapon, you need to do that immediately because the violence is coming to your town. I'm just telling you. All right, I got to play this audio for you. The Vice President, Kamala Harris, she's out there making a fool of herself once again. And, you know, these Democrats, they really, really do not like you white people out there. I don't know what it is. The white people I know are pretty nice and good and decent. I mean, every now and again, you come, you know what? But I don't know why everybody has such a problem with white people these days. Anyway, Kamala Harris is out there talking about hurricane relief. And, you know, that's a big thing. I mean, people are homeless. They don't have any power, electricity, no water. People don't know what they're going to do. Entire cities in Florida just completely wiped off the face of the earth. So Kamala Harris is talking about who's going to be getting hurricane relief. Cut 7.
I know we are all thinking about the families in Florida, in Puerto Rico, with Fiona, and what we need to do to help them in terms of an immediate response and aid, but also what we need to do to help restore communities and build communities back up in a way that they can be resilient, not to mention adapt to these extreme weather conditions, which are part of the future. On the point that you made about disparities, you know, when I was District Attorney of San Francisco, I was elected in 2003. I started one of the first environmental justice units of any DA's office in the country focused on this issue, and in particular on the disparities, as you have described rightly, which is that it is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making. And so we, absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities, and do that work.
All right. So let me cut to the chase here. Kamala Harris says that the Biden administration is going to prioritize hurricane relief aid. If you are a black or brown person, you're going to go to the front of the line. All of you white people, you got to go to the back of the line. That's what Kamala Harris is saying here. Now, she was called out. As a matter of fact, a couple of reporters, national reporters, staked out an event she was speaking at this weekend and specifically asked her to address that, and she refused to do so. She completely ignored the questions, and her security team pushed aside the reporters. But the reality here is this. What Kamala Harris just said is actually illegal. It's unconstitutional. Federal law says you cannot discriminate when it comes to relief aid. So if you are black or brown or white, it doesn't matter. You should all be treated equally. But Kamala Harris out there saying, we're going to be allocating that hurricane relief. So just, I want you to think about this for a moment. Let's say that you're, you're a white guy. What's a good white guy name? Larry. All right. Let's say, Larry, you lost your house over in Sanibel Island, and you're standing in a long line, and you're like, you've been standing in line, and all of a sudden it's your turn to get a jug of water and some bread and cheese. What they're going to do if this is a federal operation, they're going to say, Larry, we're sorry, but you're a white guy. You've got to go to the back of the line. We can't help you right now. And you can't tell me that critical race theory is not having an impact on federal policies. Can't do that anymore, ladies and gentlemen. But this is, not only is this against the law, not only is this discrimination, but this, ladies and gentlemen, is un-American. This idea that Whitey has to go to the back of the bus, that should offend all of us. Imagine for just a moment, just imagine, and you really don't have to imagine. Let's just say President Trump, back when he was president, had gone out and said, well, you know, we're going to take care of all the rich white folks first. All you black and brown folks, You got a wager. Can you imagine? Washington, D.C. would have been burned to the ground. But because this administration, and this goes back to Barack Hussein Obama, by the way, who used to hold events that were not, where white people were not allowed to attend. I write about this in my book, Culture Jihad, as a matter of fact. There was a moment when Obama held a series of meetings for men who were unemployed. And the only unemployed people who were allowed to attend were people that were black and then also brown, but predominantly blacks. And my contention is, why would you not want to have everybody? Why would you exclude one race of people? Why would you do that? Is that for payback? I mean, what? Again, where do you draw the line here? And it bears repeating because, you know how the narrative, it's an odd narrative these days because kids are growing up and they're thinking that folks back in the 70s and 80s actually owned slaves and that people were literally picking cotton and living in shotgun shacks back in the 1970s and 80s. May I just say, and I want to go on the record here, and I know this might trouble and trigger some leftists out there, but there is no human being alive today that was A, either a slave or B, owned slaves. I just want to posit that information out there for you. Not a single person, contrary to what you're hearing on television. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Connor in Boston. Now, Connor, for the record, we did not ask your skin color before coming on. You just happen to be the next person in line to come on the program.
Well, you know, I'm in Boston, so I identify as a person of color, a legal alien. So I am white, but I identify.
Which is your right under critical race theory, my friend.
You know, it depends also. You know, I'm really a Republican, but sometimes you have to identify as a Democrat who votes for Republicans, you know, just to get them off your back here, you know.
Connor, imagine being in Florida and being told you're not eligible for aid because of your skin color. You're white.
I'm learning something new because apparently that these weather, the hurricanes and tornadoes and all these weather events, you know, they actually can differentiate rates. And according to Kamala Harris, you know, what's coming out of her blowhole, that apparently these weather events can actually, you know, obviously hurt these persons of color and not hurt white people. That's according to her. But, if I were a homeowner or I were a person in Florida, and me being up here in Boston, I am absolutely disgusted by the amount of racial, just the amount of racial divide this vice president is creating. Not to mention the, in my opinion, the dumbest vice president in American history. That's going back to even considering Dick Cheney involved here. But this is just unbelievable to me that she would use an event like this to further divide what Barack Obama started. Race relations in America. It's just disgusting.
I just don't get this, but they're very open about it. They don't mind telling people, you know, that, you know, and again, there are many universities around the country that are hosting events that intentionally exclude people who happen to be of the honky persuasion. No crackers allowed, if you will. And for the record, Connor, before we get any hate mail, as a white person, I am allowed to use that particular language. So minorities cannot call us crackers, but because we are, I think that's the rule, right? Right, Connor? Okay, yeah, so that's right. We're Saltine Americans. Everybody has their own language now that only their skin color is allowed to use. So the point being is that it's perfectly okay to discriminate now against whites in America. That's what Kamala Harris was saying.
Well, somebody needs to tell Kamala Harris that she needs to start looking at people for the content of their character and less by their skin tone. You know, the hurricane does not differentiate between person of color and person of Caucasian persuasion. We just have to start doing things for our community that are going to get people back up and running and not worry about the race issues of the day that the president and vice president are trying to speak here. Let's just help our fellow countrymen, our communities, and just get through this together. That's what we're focused on.
Well said. All right, Connor, got to run. Appreciate the call. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. This is just unbelievable, but this is the reality of where we live in America. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Sorry, Grace, my headphones fell off. It's one of those days.
It's a Monday.
Oh, I've got to read this story. There's not much to this story. I just think it's fascinating. And again, it's just the lack of outrage. This is what gets me, is righteous indignation is lacking here. Here is the headline. So there's apparently a new movie, and this was not on the top of my gotta go see list. But apparently it's a popular movie. And if I can get my computer to work here, the movie came out what over the weekend called The Woman King, and it's about a group of all female black warriors protecting some African kingdom. And I'm sure it's a fine film, Wakanda Forever. Anyway, here's the story. A black Memphis firefighter is reportedly under investigation after posting a message about the movie. And this is what he said that's got him in a little bit of hot water. Quote, I hope there are some white folks killed. So there. Anyway, nothing to see here, folks. Just move right along. Let's go to Dwayne in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Dwayne, what's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment just to straighten things out, because you're really misinforming people on what the vice president meant when she was saying about the federal funds.
So you know what she meant, Dwayne?
Yes.
Do tell.
Simply because I'm not a racist person. I'm actually an African-American that has white Irish running through my blood veins, Cherokee Indian running through my blood veins. So I'm definitely not a racist, but I do know something about the political world because I spent a little time in it. And what she was basically saying is because all across the United States, everywhere you go in the political world, the money, the funds that are coming in from the state, it always goes to the upper class first to build their areas, to do their streets. I'm not talking about...
Where's your proof of that? Where's your proof of that, Dwayne?
I'm not talking about people. What people told me. Now, look at this here.
Where's your proof?
Now, if you check, all you have to do is look.
No, you're calling on the program making the accusation. Where's the proof?
I'm telling you where the proof is. Everything, look at who did up the beaches and did everything. That money did not come from the rich people's pocket. It came from taxpayers' pocket. And what those that are holding those positions, they want to make sure that they're building up, which is no problem. They want to make sure that they're building very nice areas with those funds. And a lot of the poor income areas, they do not.
Dwayne, did you even look at Fort Myers? I mean, that was the most devastated area. Most of the homes there, people were living in trailers. That doesn't scream super rich to me.
No, you're talking about one area.
No, sir. I'm talking about most of South Florida. And by the way, you want to talk about disparities. 23% of the population of Fort Myers is black. So there, Kamala Harris is out there saying that they're going to put people of color ahead of everybody else. And I think that's wrong. Yeah, that's exactly what she said. And Dwayne, she was asked to clarify, and she did not clarify. She took a pass.
Because it's people... There are people like you that really want to keep racism going.
People like me.
And so therefore, yes. So therefore,
are you calling me a racist, Dwayne?
So therefore, you put this out there to keep this thing going.
No, sir. It's important because if Donald Trump had said white people first, black people second, Dwayne, you would have been fired. You would have been fired up, and all of D.C. would have been burned down.
She never said that. And that's where
we just played it for you.
You're putting this in weak people's minds, and when they're weak and they go
weak. All right, that's it. Off your nope. Go away, sir. I'm not going to let you come onto my radio program and insult my audience. My audience is not weak. We've got one of the smartest audiences in all of talk radio. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour two underway on this very busy Monday edition of the program. Stick around. We're going to be getting your calls. A lot of people really riled up over Dwayne from Georgia, who called all of our listeners weak because we stand up and we call out the Biden administration and their nonsense. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, the Supreme Court opens its fall session today. All eyes, as they say, trained on their deliberations on free speech cases. In particular, Lori Smith, she was on the show a few weeks ago. She owns 303 Creative, a website design company, and she's being defended by Alliance Defending Freedom against overreach from Colorado's Human Rights Commission. They're trying to force Lori to promote so-called same-sex marriage in violation of her deeply held Christian faith. Now, if you'd like to help in this headline-making case, which is going before the Supreme Court this session, I need you to go right now to toddstearns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner to make a generous tax-deductible donation. So the question is, why do they need our cash? Well, it's very simple. Small Christian businesses like the Flower Shop, owned and operated by Bernal Stutzman in Washington State, are constantly under attack by the forces of progressive activists.
They're talking about bullying me into doing something that is against my faith. They can't do that. They can get rid of me, but they can't get rid of God. There's not a price on freedom. You can't buy my freedom. And if it's me now, but tomorrow it's going to be you. You got to wake up.
All right, that was Bernal Stutzman, a longtime friend of this program. And I want you to understand something. Alliance Defending Freedom, they never charge anybody a dime. Bernal Stutzman, Lori, no, they're not being charged a dime. And it's because their legal costs are defrayed by your generous tax-deductible donations. So I want you to go to toddstearns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Now get this. Your first gift to ADF is going to be matched 100%. You give $100, it's going to be $200. So again, toddstearns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and your first gift is going to be doubled on the spot. We're raising $50,000 for ADF, and we need your help. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. A good friend of this program from Alliance Defending Freedom, their senior counsel, Matt Sharp. Matt, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
So a lot going on. We got an alert from ADF earlier this morning, and the latest case that you guys are bringing to everyone's attention involves a substitute teacher from Georgia who got fired. I want you to tell our listeners what happened here.
Yeah, so Lindsay Barr was a longtime teacher and then had become a substitute teacher in a school district outside of Savannah, Georgia. And she also had three children enrolled in the school district there. And Lindsay recently found out that the librarian was going to be reading a book to all of the kids. And in the book, it depicted same-sex couples and raising a family and things like that. And as a parent, Lindsay had some concerns about that, had concerns that the school was going to be indoctrinating her kids in a series of beliefs that violate her Christian beliefs. And so she very respectfully went to the principal and expressed her concerns about this and said she'd like her children to be excused from sitting in on this. Next thing you know, she gets fired, barred from being a substitute teacher, not only in the elementary school, but anywhere in the district, simply for expressing her concerns as a parent about some of the ideas that the school was indoctrinating in her children.
So this is in Savannah, the Savannah area, McAllister Elementary School, and this book was in the library and read out loud, the book called All Are Welcome. And as you pointed out, it contains several illustrations about same-sex couples parenting and expecting children. Matt, you guys now representing, I understand a federal lawsuit's been filed, is that right?
That's right. We just filed a lawsuit after we had sent a demand letter to the school trying to resolve this, which they ignored. We filed this lawsuit because teachers should not be fired simply because they express concerns of what's being taught in the school. And that's doubly so when this teacher is a parent who, as a parent, is concerned about what's being taught and the impact it can have on our kids. Our Constitution protects the right of parents, teachers, and others to speak out on issues like this and express their concerns. And the school district was wrong to fire Lindsay as a substitute teacher for this.
Matt, what's at stake here? You guys are going to be taking Lori's case before the Supreme Court. It will be heard this fall session. What's at stake here in this particular story?
Well, we're seeing this repeated pattern, whether it's Lori's case or this one, where people of faith are censored, are punished because of their beliefs. And whether it's Lori being threatened by Colorado or Lindsay losing her job simply because she's expressing concern over this indoctrination of her kids, of them, the school district pushing ideas that violate her beliefs about marriage and human sexuality, people of faith are finding themselves being sidelined and punished for that. And so that's why we're so honored to stand with individuals like this, with Lindsay, who's saying enough is enough. You can't punish people. You can't fire people for simply speaking out when they have concerns about what's being pushed on kids.
All right. Our good friend Matt Sharp from Alliance Defending Freedom on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Matt, I know that you guys have really been active in defending female athletes. And we had this crazy story out of Vermont where the high school girls volleyball team, all of the girls have been told they have to dress in a single stall bathroom because there is a transgender player on the team. There's been a lot of controversy there. And it was interesting because the girls seem to be making more sense than the grown-ups there in Vermont.
Yeah, it's one of the recurring themes we're seeing of female athletes speaking out about these concerns about males competing on women's teams, taking their spots, and yes, even entering into locker rooms, restrooms, and other places that violate these young women's right to privacy. It's one of the reasons we've got an ongoing lawsuit in Connecticut over their policy that allows men to take spots on women's teams, because as this is showing, it not only raises fairness concerns. Our clients in Connecticut lost opportunities to win championships. They lost opportunities to advance to the next round of competition. But this poses safety concerns. If you've got a male coming into a sport like soccer or volleyball, where sometimes there's physical contact, that can be harmful to a girl. And not least of which, as you point out, there are incredibly sensitive privacy concerns. When these young women are changing, if a male is allowed to come in there, that violates those young women's right to privacy. And I'm encouraged to see more and more young women like this speaking out and just saying, this is wrong, this is inappropriate, and we're not going to tolerate it.
All right. Well, again, Matt, all this month we are doing our part to help raise funds so you guys can keep fighting these cases. And, I mean, it really is important. And, again, to reaffirm, Matt, you guys don't charge these folks a single penny to represent them in court.
Not at all. Everything we do is pro bono. And so whether it's a demand letter or a lawsuit that, like Lori's, goes all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, we're going to stand with people that are fighting for free speech, for religious liberty, and for the right of parents to direct the upbringing of their children.
We love it. And you guys do it so well. And what I really appreciate is you do it in the spirit of the Bible, the good book, and that you give these districts an opportunity to make things right before filing the lawsuit. And I think that says a lot about really where the heart and the character of ADF is. So we appreciate you guys doing that.
Well, again, it's an honor to do it, and we're really just so incredibly honored to serve these incredible men and women, young women, teachers, others, speaking out, standing for every American's right to live out their faith without fear of government censorship or punishment.
All right, Matt Sharp, ladies and gentlemen, Alliance Defending Freedom. Matt, thank you. And folks, you're going to be able to go right now to our website, toddstearns.com. You will see the Alliance Defending Freedom banner right there at the top of the page. And I want you to click on that. And if you believe that religious liberty matters, if you believe that free speech and privacy matters, if you believe that biological girls should be able to have privacy in their locker rooms, then you need to donate to Alliance Defending Freedom. I mean, we're in a battle every single day. The number of stories that come our way that we can't even get on the air. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's happening. More importantly, get your kid out of that public school if you can. Now, before we go to break, I want to go to Murph, who lives in Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Now, Murph, I understand the same thing happened to you as a teacher.
I can't prove it 100%, Dr. Starnes. But this was the layout. I was a substitute at a local high school here in the GMSD for the past 6+ years. Got a little concerned about CRT and social and emotional learning as expressed through a group I've gotten involved with, Moms for Liberty, and their mothers who have kids in GMSD, and they're concerned about it. So I
now, what is GMS? What is that for our listeners outside of this area?
Germantown Municipal School District.
Okay,
Germantown,
got
Tennessee.
Got it.
And just dropped in on a couple of school board meetings toward the end of last spring semester. And come the middle of June, I get a note from Kelly Services, who hires the substitutes, saying you have been removed from the substitute list at a certain high school in the within the general Germantown Municipal School District. And I was a little upset about it, very upset about it, because I have a lot of friends there. And talked to some people, and they said I should pursue it legally, but just didn't feel like it. You know, is it worth it? Who knows?
Murph, I mean, yeah, I think it is worth it. I would think that we would benefit by having someone like you in the classroom. Now, you taught, now how many years did you teach, and how long were you a substitute?
I was 22 years in the classroom at Germantown High and Southland High, and I've been a sub since 2014 at Collierville, and then I moved to Houston. And then the GMSD said, sorry, we don't need you, or Kelly Services did. And then I got, I'm hooked up now with Collierville School District. So I've been there just about, oh gosh, I get 10 calls a day, to be honest.
Wow. It's yeah. Real, but you're, so you're telling me, I mean, things were going great. You started speaking out against CRT, critical race theory, and some of these other issues, and then you get the heave-ho.
Yes, sir. I wasn't really adamant about it. I just had questions.
Sure.
We don't have any kids in the school district anymore, but we're a stakeholder and a taxpayer, and the Germantown property taxes are healthy. So if the school district decides to put this sort of curriculum into action, then yours truly and other grandparents ought to have a look at it and have some questions about it, because based on my experience, and it serves very little purpose other than to continue to hyphenate Americans and agitate people to a point where we can't get along anymore.
Murph, they're laying the foundation brick by brick for a race war in America. That's what this is all about. And this will completely destabilize our nation. We are we're raising a generation right now in public schools, kindergarten through 12th grade. So you're looking at, what, 12, 13 years that white kids are being told they're the oppressors. They should be ashamed. Black kids are the oppressed. And they should blame the white person for whatever their lot in life is. That will only lead to very bad things in this country. And the left knows this. They know it. And go ahead.
You know, the establishment of the United States of America was an epochal event, a great event. And people have to remember it was done by human beings. Human beings are fallible. They're sinful. But wherever there's great government or great passion or great event, there's always great error. And we used to talk about this in class. Did we make mistakes? Yes. Were those mistakes wrong? Yes. Have we tried for the past 150 years to rectify those mistakes? By all means. And
yet, Murph, let me jump in here because we're coming up against a break, Murph. But the reality is now, if you ask kids, they will say that race relations are worse off now than they were before the Civil War. That's where we're at in America. And we just can't let that happen. And it's happening in our school classrooms. All right, Murph, we got to look into that. I can't believe it. Murph's a great guy, great history teacher. And the allegation is that Germantown schools said, yeah, you're not going to be a substitute teacher anymore because you raised questions about critical race theory. That's bonkers. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. We'll be right back. All right, there's a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth in Hollywood. So there's a new movie out. Grace Baker, I'm not a big fan of these folks. Billy Eichner is the guy's name.
I don't know who that is.
He is a gay comedian, director, something. Anyway, he made a big announcement at the VMAs, and I want to go back and play this this report here. Cut number 12.
What's up, MTV?
What's up?
How you doing? Now listen up. Some of you know me as Billy on the Street.
Oh, hey, Billy.
But on September 30th, I have a movie coming out called Bros. Bros is making history as the first gay rom-com ever made by a major studio. And the first where every role is played by an openly LGBTQ actor. Right? And I need you all there in theaters on September 30th because we need to show all the homophobes like Clarence Thomas and all the homophobes on the Supreme Court that we want gay love stories and we support LGBTQ people and we are not letting them drag us back into the last century because they are in the past and Bros is the future. Are you with me, VMA?
Oh, jazz hands, jazz hands. Oh, we're with you, Billy. We're with you. Well, it turns out that all of those homophobes, Grace Baker, like to go to the movies, but they don't like gay, what do they call them? Gay rom-coms. Romantic comedy?
I guess I saw this movie did horrible.
Oh, it was
weekend.
A complete flop.
There's some creepy movie called Smile that came out that beat it, that was like some horror movie about smiling. I don't even know.
So the name of the movie is called Bros.
Which is misleading.
It is misleading, and he's upset. So now Billy Eichner, he just, you know, this was back whenever the awards were, and he was accusing all of you Christians and all of you straight people of being homophobes, right? So if somebody's calling me a homophobe or a bigot, I'm probably not going to go see their movie.
This is very true.
But again, that aside, dare I just say this? According to the mainstream media, 90% of the country is now gay or identifies as trans.
Oh, that's a great point. I guess they don't like going to the movies.
So I don't think he can blame this. No, I just think it's a crappy movie. And I don't think he can blame this on the straight people. I've got more to say about it. This is nuts. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. This is the Todd Starden Show. All right, so the time got away from me. I gotta finish up this story here, Grace Baker. So anyway, there's a lot of outrage in Hollywood because straight white or straight Christian people, I don't think there was a skin color issue. But anyway, they're upset because straight Christians did not go and see an all gay comedy.
How dare you? How dare you?
Oh, thank you. I haven't heard from Greta in a long time. Is that Greta Thorne? What's her face?
Yeah, Thorne. What's her face? She's an adult now, so nobody pays attention.
Okay.
To her.
So anyway, the storyline here is, and I've got the guy who starred in the movie and created the movie, Billy Eichner. He's very upset at all you people, and he went on a Twitter tirade. Rolling Stone already has Bros on the list of the best comedies of the 21st century. What's also true. At one point, a theater chain called Universal pulled the trailer because of the gay content. That's just the world we live in. Unfortunately, even with glowing reviews, great Rotten Tomatoes scores, and A Cinema score, straight people, especially in certain parts of the country, just didn't show up for Bros. And that's disappointing, but it is what it is. Well, I hate to break this to Billy Eichner, but maybe, just maybe, people don't like having an agenda shoved down their throats at the movie theater. Maybe the only thing they want to do is go to the movie theater and enjoy a wonderful night of escaping from the hardships of life, and the only thing they want to be stuffing down their throat is a big old thing of popcorn with theater butter. Eichner goes on to say, everyone who isn't a homophobic weirdo should go see Bros tonight. You will have a blast. And it's special and uniquely powerful to see this story on a big screen, especially for queer folks who don't get this opportunity. Are you kidding me? They don't get the opportunity every night, every show, every channel. Somebody is smooching on somebody else of the same-sex variety. So I don't know what this guy's talking about. Well, there you go. Shame on all of you Christian heterophobes or homophobes, you. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. All right, 844-747-8868. Did you go see the movie? Maybe our audience is responsible. Maybe that's who he's talking about. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. As promised, our good friend Ray Richardson from WLOB, the Big Lobster, joins us. Ray, did you go see Bros over the weekend?
You know, I got to tell you, Todd, I did not.
Well, you homophobe, you.
I know. You know, I don't need to see people slobbering all over each other. I don't care if they're heterosexual or gay. I don't care. I just don't need to see it.
You know, Ray, the reason I stopped going to the movie theater is because of all the heterosexual sex going on. I mean, people were making out in the theaters. You couldn't watch the movie with all the slobbering and the hollering going on.
The boundaries of our society have forever been erased, I'm afraid, my friend.
It's true. And I will say this, and I know people like Billy Eichner, they will disagree with me here. But at least for now, we still have a choice when it comes to what movies we want to go and watch. I mean, there may come a day when we're going to have to be forced to watch all this nonsense. But at least right now, we still have a choice.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just all so crazy. I mean, how long will that choice last, Todd? That's a really good question, isn't it?
Yeah, Ray, they're just shoving it down our throats, and that's why we wanted you to come on. There's a crazy story coming from Bonnie Eagle High School in Buxton, Maine, regarding a book debate. I want you to tell our listeners what's going on there in your neck of the woods.
So I got to tell you, my friend, I have come this November, I will have done the morning show for 19 years. I have never had a more uncomfortable 30 minutes than I did this morning at 7:30 to 8 a.m. Eastern. And I will tell you, you know, I've been praying a lot about how to handle this. Thankfully, I was in church yesterday morning and our pastor really it came through so clearly. So what's happening here is yet another debatable point in our society. Should pornography be a part of the public education? And I don't know how that became a debatable point in our society. The book called Gender Queer on Amazon, it says clearly 18 years plus, they recognize this isn't a book for adults, not for children. And I don't care how old the child is, if they're in public school, they're a child. They're someone's child. And a lot of this stuff goes on, Todd, because parents don't know. So I'll admit the truth. I dropped the ball on this. There's so many things going on. When this first came to my attention, I didn't get involved with it because, you know, there's only 24 hours in the day, and I'm usually awake for 20 of them, and I just didn't have time. But somebody sent me excerpts of the book last Friday, and I was appalled. And I won't say what I saw because I can't think of a polite way to do it. I warned my audience for 90 minutes this morning that I was going to graphically tell them what it was saying in this book. And so what they did was is they created cartoons, but they're cartoons of people. They're not Bugs Bunny or Yosemite Sam. These are cartoons of people engaging in very graphic sexual gratification. I think that's a polite way to say it. Is that fair?
That's pretty fair. You keep going. We'll let you know if we have to dump out.
All right, I understand that. So, so basically, in some of the pictures, it was a guy that was clearly depicted as a man with a beard. And a younger boy, and I don't know how young the boy was supposed to be, but he was a boy, and the guy was clearly a man. They're stripped down, you know, in these cartoon pictures. They're naked. Their genitals are ready
okay.
to rumble.
Yeah, we got the
way to say it? Ready to rumble.
Yeah, we got the picture here, Ray.
Okay, I mean this is clearly pornography, and I don't understand. They say it's about a person's journey. Fine, but, you know, you don't have to go into graphic details of your personal life.
And
this
you,
stuff is.
And you don't have to take the second grade class at the local elementary school along on the journey.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, you know, these are for older kids. This book is in the older kids' library. Although sixth graders, the way I found out about it is a sixth grade parent from the school district came to me and sent me what was going on and said, my child has access to this. And so what they've tried to do, and this is what they always do, they want to make this about homophobia and about you're anti-gay, which is a load of malarkey. I don't believe this for a second. I mean, my wife and I raised four kids. They were all 12 at one point. I don't want my 12-year-old engaged in sex, and they were straight kids. If I had a child who was gay, I wouldn't want my gay child involved in sex at 12 years old in sixth grade. So I don't believe parents who have gay children want their children exposed to this filth, and it's just filth. And there's no other way around it, Todd. It is disgustingly filthy.
Ray Richardson, the morning show host at WLOB, our affiliate in Portland, Maine, joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Ray, just like I suspect in Memphis, Tennessee, where you know I own KWAM, the local radio station is becoming the platform where parents and others can come and express their concerns because they've been shut out everywhere else.
Well, I think that that's true. And here's what I encourage people to do. You know, if you don't live in the district, then I don't suspect they will let you speak. But I've encouraged people, no matter where they live in Maine, to come to the school district tonight, to sit politely in solidarity with these parents who are willing to speak up. We don't want to use anger. I mean, I said this morning on the air, there were 11 members of the school board. Statistically, it's incomprehensible that some of them are not Christian. And I asked one of the parents to ask this question. To get up and say, instead of it being me who's here, what if this was Jesus standing before you? How do you justify this filth to him? Because I think it's a question that ought to be asked.
So the school board meeting is tonight. What time, Ray, in case people want to get down there?
It's at 6 p.m. and it's 94 Main Street in Buxton, Maine, which is a wonderful little town. A lot of people know of it. If you watch the movie Shawshank Redemption, you remember that beautiful rock wall? Well, that was Buxton, Maine. It's a wonderful town. I don't know what's going on here. I don't understand why they want to do this, Todd. It makes no sense.
No, it makes no sense at all, Ray, other than the fact that the sex and gender revolutionaries control many of our public schools, taxpayer-funded schools, and we've got to stop that, and we've got to root that out. So tonight, the way to do that in Buxton, Maine, is for everybody listening to this program to get over there and let your voice be heard. Ray, appreciate you always and the great work you're doing there in Portland.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Todd. I appreciate you giving me a few moments here. It's so critical if parents, and I don't believe the majority of parents agree with this, but if they stand down, we get steamrolled. People have to show up, even if you aren't comfortable speaking in public. If you just show up in solidarity, behave. We all want to behave. Anger will not do anything here. That'll become the story instead of the actual story. Why do they have pornography in the school? And you know, I think they ought to answer that, Todd, nationwide. If you're going to put this garbage into the schools, you ought to justify why you think pornography for the school's children is okay.
Ray, I could not have said it better, and it is a question that needs to be answered by that school board. Again, we're not talking about banning books here. We're talking about age-appropriate material. That's what we're talking
exactly.
about.
All right. Exactly. No one wants to ban it.
Ray, we're going to let you get back at it. Always good hearing from you, sir.
I appreciate it, Todd. Thank you.
Ray Richardson, everybody, WLOB, our great radio station. And I'm curious, you people listening in Maine, your tax dollars are funding this. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to share with you a bizarre story from Millington, Tennessee. The local Walmart says they refuse to sell products to a pro-life ministry. And we've got the story exclusively. We'll tell you more about it coming up. Well, did you guys hear about J.J. Watt from the Arizona Cardinals? What a crazy story. So somebody threatened to out the poor guy. No, not that. No, he's... That's not what I meant. He was dealing with some sort of a medical issue, and they threatened to out him. So he had to go up on social media, and he wanted to beat whoever was going to break the story. You know, I will say this, and I don't mean to paint with a broad brush here, but there's some pretty sleazy people writing in sports journalism these days. I just want to throw that out there. Anyway, J.J. Watt had some sort of a heart issue. He had to have his heart shocked back into rhythm. I mean, he was able to play and everything. But anyway, what got me about this story? He is fully vaccinated. This, and it was a big deal at the time. He went out there and announced that he was fully vaccinated. Now he's got this heart problem. And I'm wondering how many other athletes out there are now dealing with sudden and unusual heart-related issues. The one common denominator, all of these people are fully vaccinated. Now, here's my question. Can J.J. Watt, and I certainly hope this is just a one-off, but let's just say J.J. Watt does have a heart condition that will end his NFL career. At that point, does he get a chance to sue the NFL because they forced him to get the vaccine in order to play football? We had a story here in the Memphis area. A young man, I believe it was track or golf. There are two stories involving high school athletes, and both of them had heart attacks. Perfectly healthy young men. And you wonder, okay, anybody want to sit back and talk about how the vaccines are literally killing people in America? Can we have that conversation? Just want to throw that out there. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Nancy in Georgia. Nancy, what's on your mind today?
Well, it's really good to talk with you, and I'm so proud of your holding the line and keeping the conservative mindset alive. That's so important, and I appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
I was thinking about Dwayne as I'm riding along, and, I don't think it's occurred to people sometimes that there are poor and needy white people just as there are poor and needy people of color. And a lot, you pointed this out, a lot of people in Fort Myers were living in trailers because they are retired older people, and they're living on fixed incomes and different things. Why should they take a second seat to anybody? They have been contributing to our culture, our community. They've been giving money through taxes and other things. If you want to talk about equality, let's be equal. Let's give to those who need, regardless of color, regardless of religion, regardless of anything. And the other comment I had, one more, being tolerant of other people is very important in our culture. But it does not mean that I have to accept it in my own Christian life. I would never mistreat anyone. I don't care if they're gay, they're black, or whatever. I don't want anyone else to mistreat them. But neither do I want them to force me into a box that they have designed for me and or for my family. And I don't appreciate it when heterosexuals are promiscuous. I don't agree with that. And I don't appreciate it if they talk to me about their sex life. This is something that is personal. And it shouldn't be something that people have an agenda to try to convince you to be that way yourself.
And Nancy, look, these are very thoughtful. I appreciate that you've thought all of this out and you've thought this through. And it's, look, there are gay bars out there. I don't think, back when I lived in Brooklyn, we had a gay bar in the neighborhood. And not once did I ever think about walking in there and telling them, oh, you've got to hold a church service in here, or you've got to stop doing X, Y, Z. No, if you disagree with what's happening inside that bar, don't go to the bar. Why would you come in and tell people, and now they're going after the churches and saying you've got to stop teaching X, Y, or Z? Look, if you disagree with the church's theology, don't go to the church.
Absolutely, and I'm really upset in so many ways that it seems like that the division in our country was not fair very few years ago. We realized that civil rights were here, and everybody has opportunity now to do things that maybe they couldn't have done in the past. And I am thrilled that we have those equal opportunities. But I don't want that to become a license. As it says in the Bible, you know, freedom doesn't mean you have a license. And they seem to be taking that as, and another thing is that it keeps people in a constant state of having to fight for their viewpoint. Why can't we allow people to have their viewpoint?
That's a great point. Nancy, we're coming up on the, I hear you. And Nancy, you are a wise, wise lady. And I want you to give us a call back one of these days, because we need to hear from you. Unfortunately, we're coming up on the top of the hour. I will say this, and one other thing just to think about on this whole gay rom-com movie here. Is it possible, just possible, that maybe the actual LGBT population in America is not as large as they want us to believe it is? Is that possible? I'm just throwing that out there. Or it could be that Billy Eichner just produces sucky movies. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
We're all targets now, though, for daring to push back against the regime. And it doesn't stop at a weaponized legal system. I'm not going to mince words with you all. Democrats want Republicans dead. And they've already started the killings. An 18-year-old boy was run down by a Democrat driver who confessed to killing the teenager simply because he was a Republican. Even right here in Michigan, just last week, an 83-year-old woman was shot in the back for advocating for the unborn. Yep. Joe Biden has declared every freedom-loving American an enemy of the state. But under Republicans, we will take back our country from the communists who have stolen it and want us to disappear. We will expose the unelected bureaucrats, the real enemies within, who have abused their power and declared political warfare on the greatest president this country has ever had.
All right, that was Marjorie Taylor Greene over the weekend at President Trump's rally in Michigan. You know, she's not lying here, folks. I mean, there have been a number of attacks on pro-life agencies, churches, especially Catholic churches. There have been attacks on people. And of course, the young man who was killed because of his political beliefs, his Republican political beliefs. So there is something to what Marjorie Taylor Greene is warning the nation about. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. I want to go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, he's chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Scott Perry. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Well, I am doing well, Todd. Thanks for asking. You know, just the concern for the country remains. And, of course, we just got done in Washington, D.C., continuing to fund a government that is it's out of control, whether it's the spending or whether it's the persecution of half the country. It's out of control. And Republicans should not be voting to fund that. We should use the leverage that we have with that vote to make sure that start fixing things where we can. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And so that's, you know, look, I'm blessed. I have a wonderful family. We're healthy. We live in America, and we have those blessings, and we count them every day. But we can be doing better, and we should be.
Well, we ought to be. I will say this, the border crisis is only getting worse. Fox News reporting, and they're the only folks that have been down there on a consistent basis. The numbers we're hearing, 599,000 gotaway illegals in the fiscal year 2022. These are the ones that we don't know about that we ought to be really concerned about.
Yeah, 599,000 is a big number. And that, of course, each one is an individual that ran away from Border Patrol, sought to evade law enforcement. And so what are their intentions? And, of course, we know that some countries are disgorging their prisons. That's been done in the past. We know that we found people on the terrorist watch list. We've caught those folks. How many of those folks haven't we caught? What are they doing in the United States? What are they doing in your community? And what is your federal government, which has the sole responsibility for immigration, doing about it? And, of course, Todd, you already know the answer. This administration is doing nothing but aiding and abetting.
That's true, Congressman. And I suspect we're going to see some demographic shifts in the midterm elections. There's polling data out there showing that a number of Hispanic Americans are really turned off by this, that they want a secure border. They see jobs being taken away from law-abiding American citizens. Telemundo had one of their anchors on the Sunday shows, and he's saying that they're hearing the exact same thing from their audience. So this could be good news for the Republican Party.
Well, it should be. And I will tell you, as a person, my mother is Colombian. And so, you know, even though some people would refuse to acknowledge it, I have Hispanic background in my lineage. And, you know, look, people are people, whether regardless of what their background is, they want safe streets. They want opportunity for themselves and their children. They want to be prosperous. And so if the Hispanic community, like every other single community, is looking at the prospects for their life right now in America, they're going to want to go to the Republican Party. I mean, whether it's my opponent or probably just about anybody on the Democrat ticket, they have consistently been against local law enforcement, against it. So, you know, for the person that lives in their community that puts on the uniform every day and goes out and pledges their life to keep their community safe, these are the very people that wish to be elected and then make sure that the person that pledges his life or her life is unsafe out there or is not actually even on the job. And whether you're Hispanic or not, that's not the world you live in, especially people that have escaped. The country's full of violence. They certainly don't want to come to America to revisit the same violence they just escaped.
Congressman Scott Perry is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, I'm curious to get your take on this commitment to America that was rolled out. And people are, you know, supportive of it, but it's not like gung-ho. And I think a lot of people, including Tucker Carlson from Fox News, wanting some more specifics. I know House Freedom Caucus, you guys are supporting this. What assurances can you give our audience? Because, again, everybody, it's kind of a lukewarm embrace of this. So what can you tell us that'll get folks, you know, jazzed up about it?
Well, look, of course we're for it because it says things that we generally agree with, right? We want a healthy economy. We want safe streets. There's no one that disagrees with that, but we would like to have seen some more meat on the bones. And quite honestly, I would like to see a time commitment. If you say you're going to do something without saying I'm going to do it by this date, it's kind of a carte blanche to never get it done. And as we know in Congress, there's a lot of things that never get done. I think that Americans in particular are sick of the rhetoric. They're sick of the lip service. They're saying, okay, you say you're going to do this. Show me how and tell me by when so I know whether you've lived up to your words, to your promises or not. So the Freedom Caucus, we essentially have a 100-day plan that we would like to link to this, to this commitment. We're talking to the leader and the leadership about that. We don't necessarily have buy-in yet from them. But the point is that I think if any Republican thinks that we're going to just go, going to win the majority and then it's going to be business as usual, boy, they've got a rough road to hoe with their electorate and not to mention members of the Freedom Caucus. We're just simply not going to allow that to happen if we have the ability to not let that happen.
Good. I'm glad to hear you say that. And again, we want to give McCarthy every benefit of the doubt here. But at this stage of the game, I think we're looking for, and by we, I mean conservatives, are looking for action, not words.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Todd. I mean, you know this. Your audience knows it. The country cannot withstand another 2 years of wait and see. Play it safe. Let's wait till we get to the presidency. Let's wait till we elect one more senator. That's simply not going to work while the left, the hardcore left, the radical Democrats are dismantling our country piece by piece. We don't have 2 years. We don't have 2 minutes. So as soon as we get the majority, we've got to take action to save the republic.
All right. I'm liking what I'm hearing here. Congresswoman, we're going to let you go. Thank you for coming on the program. Appreciate you, all the great work you guys are doing up in Washington.
Well, thank you very much, Todd. God bless you and God bless your audience.
All right. Congressman Scott Perry from Pennsylvania, also chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. And I'm glad to hear him say that there's not a lot of meat on those bones. Kind of like going down to Rendezvous, the rib joint in Memphis. Popular with the tourists, but not a lot of meat on those bones. We just need more. We need more. And McCarthy knows that. All right. I promised you I was going to get to the story in the last hour, and I did not. And I want to share this with you because it's just blowing my mind. There is a great pro-life organization here in the Memphis, Tennessee area called Confidential Care Ministries. I was invited to be at their banquet on Friday night, and they asked me to introduce the keynote speaker, Star Parker. And we had a great time. About 400 people turned out. And in the course of the conversation, we were told that Walmart discriminated against this pro-life organization, the Walmart in Millington, Tennessee. Now, look, Confidential Care has a mobile ministry, and what they do is they counsel women that otherwise would have aborted their babies. And at this annual event, they bring up onto the stage many of the moms who made that decision to give birth to their child. And the mother and the baby are there, and it's a beautiful moment. And they honor these women, and they give them a gift card. And one of the other things that this ministry is doing is that their care does not stop after the baby is born. They're working with these moms to get them housing, to get them jobs, you know, helping these moms, not just saying, okay, you've had your baby, that's it, but going the extra, it's really not even the extra mile. They're doing what a person of faith, a Christian would do, which is to help walk alongside this mom. So anyway, the executive director goes to the Walmart in Millington, Tennessee, and I'm going to be saying those two words quite a bit. Walmart, Millington, Tennessee. She's the executive director is buying these gift cards. And you know how it is if you go to the Walmart or anywhere and you buy a gift card, it takes a while because they have to type in the dollar amount, and then they've got to activate the card. And I don't know, they were getting 15 or 20 cards. So I guess the cashier made some small talk. Oh, what are you getting all these cards for? And the executive director said, well, you know, we're a pro-life group and we're giving these cards to moms who have just had babies. Well, another staffer, and we believe it to be an assistant manager, overheard the conversation and said, wait a second. No, I'm uncomfortable with this. We're not going to sell you those gift cards, and cancel the transactions. And the woman was stunned. She says, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, we're not comfortable selling anything to a pro-life agency. And at that moment, the executive director said, well, wait a second. This is your job at Walmart. You can't decide who you are going to sell items to and who you're not. You don't get to make that choice. She demanded to speak to the manager. The manager wasn't there. So she's very smart, this lady. She took a picture of the guy who refused to sell her the product. And then she called corporate, Walmart corporate in Benton, Arkansas. And corporate told this lady, yeah, that is really not an issue that we're interested in addressing, and hung up on her. And so there you go. Walmart says, and is defending apparently, and we've reached out to Walmart, and they haven't returned our messages. It's been 48 hours. You'd think they would return our messages by now. But as it now stands, Walmart says that they have a right to refuse service to a pro-life ministry. Walmart in Millington, Tennessee. I would encourage you, Grace, let's put the telephone number up. Let's make it easy for people to call the Walmart in Millington, Tennessee, so that our listeners can let them know how displeased they are that they would turn out a pro-life ministry trying to honor moms with newborn children. That is appalling, ladies and gentlemen. It's also something called discrimination. Now, the good news is there's a Kroger nearby. She walked into the Kroger, said, hey, I want to buy some gift cards. I was listening to the interview this morning on KWAM, Wake Up Memphis, with Tim Van Horn. And I thought it was funny. She bought the gift cards, and then she told the people at Kroger what the gift cards were for. She didn't want to get turned down again. Good for you, ma'am. Confidential Care Ministries. We'll post a link. Let's post a link to their page as well, so you can find out the great work those folks are doing. Pretty despicable. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, when you call the Walmart in Millington, Tennessee, I want you to call us and let us know what they had to say. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. No, look, I truly believe that the folks at Walmart in Millington, Tennessee would love to hear from you. And here's their telephone number. We're going to make it very simple for you. 901-872-6100. That's 901-872-6100. And we'd like to know why they discriminated against Confidential Care Ministries. And when you get through and you talk to somebody, I want you to call us and let us know, because Walmart's they're not talking to us. They're not talking to us. All right. This is a fascinating story. Mississippi State football coach Mike Leach. Now I will say this about Mississippi State. I am not a big fan. It's the cowbells. That's all. It's the cowbells. Very painful to listen to. But anyway, Coach Leach has always offered some advice. You know, the guy has no, expresses no emotion, right? So anyway, after the football game, one of the SEC reporters was asking about a wedding advice, because that's what he does. That's a big thing for him. And here's what Coach Leach had to say. Cut number three.
Coach, I know you have strong thoughts on weddings. I'm in the middle of planning one right now. Do you have any advice for me?
Who are you marrying?
His name is Trevor.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll have to, you set up a meeting and I'll talk to him. Okay, so where's Trevor from?
He's from Florida.
What does Trevor do for a living?
He works in sports as well, covers football.
He does what?
He covers football as well.
Really? Well, I don't know. We'll keep a close eye on it, but whatever you and Trevor decide, I would kind of keep it on the down low, which you failed to do that. Trevor was probably planning to, but you didn't. So go ahead and don't say anything else about it, but as soon as the season's over, or even an off week, go elope. Trust me on that. Go elope. Because basically every female in the family is going to terrorize you guys until it's over. Once it's over, I mean, they'll be upset for a few days, but it'll be over. And then, you know, you cruise away, along, have a happy marriage, have a happy life.
I'll pass along the message. Thanks, Coach. Congrats on the win.
Trevor, unless he's crazy, is totally on my side. And trust me on this. If Trevor doesn't have the sense to do that, tell him to call me, because, I mean, he needs to do I've told all my kids, I'll give you $10,000 extra if you elope. So far, they haven't done it, but I would, too.
I'll have him call you for sure.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thanks.
Now, I can say that I eloped. Or I call it a pseudo-elopement, because there were like 30 people that insisted on being there, and I'm very glad they came. But there were 30 people. But it was very low-key in the mountains. It was an elopement.
It was a beautiful wedding.
It was gorgeous. It was great. And my parents were like, oh, this is so much less stressful.
I'm curious to know from our audience, would you follow the coach's advice? Would you recommend that your kids elope and save money?
Now, I have a friend who's like planning a wedding right now, and she was like, Grace, I should have eloped. She's like, I should have done it. I should have eloped.
Really?
Yeah, she's in the middle of it. She's like, I should have eloped.
Oh, look, I thought it was a fascinating conversation. I'm just wondering what that had to do with the football game. That's my only thing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm quibbling here, but I am curious, ladies and gentlemen. What would you recommend for your child? Elopement as opposed to spending all this money on a big wedding. 844-747-8868. Marriage advice from Coach Leach at Mississippi State. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. right, so it turns out there's actually been a survey done on this, Grace Baker, and you are not alone when it comes to young people, Gen Zers, who decided to do the elopement thing. Helzberg Diamonds, you know, the jewelry place?
Yes.
So they did a survey, and there's an ulterior motive to this, but on Helzberg, yeah, on the diamond company's part. But they did a survey. 62% of people who are currently engaged say they would consider eloping. And what I find shocking about this, 69% of females, so the brides, are the ones that are saying, we would rather elope. And here's the reason why. The average wedding cost up to $33,000. Average.
Yes. Yes. I mean, the brides have to do all the work. We got to schedule everything.
But y'all are supposed to.
Out.
It's like your day.
Yes.
The guys just show up.
It gets really expensive. Really expensive.
So Helzberg, this is why there's an ulterior motive. So they now have a thing where at every Helzberg store, there is at least one ordained sales associate, and they will marry you right there in the store.
There it is.
They want you to spend more money on the diamond.
Oh, for sure. Which, actually, I won't even go on this tangent, but I'll just say alternative stones are also coming into style as well.
Get a nice shiny rock. Yeah, there you go. All right, let's go to Patty in North Carolina agrees with you, Grace. Patty, what say you about this eloping?
Well, yeah, definitely. And I told Grace, you know what? And when my kids are 40 and then 38, when they get, if they happen to get married, I'm going to light up the grill.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, we're going to have a tent in the yard. I'm not spending no $50,000, $60,000 for one day. Put it towards a house. Put it towards something that you want. You know, these women spending $7,000 on a dress, and it's a joke. And it don't even last. Half the marriages today don't last. You know that, Todd.
That's a fair point. So, you can't get your money back.
Well, you know what? And you know, but anyway, Grace was smart, and I'm sure she had a beautiful wedding and everything. But I tell my kids all the time: if you happen to get married, if you want to have it in the backyard, we'll have a, just put the boombox on.
You know, that's interesting because you could literally take that money. That's a down payment for a house.
That's what I said. You could put it towards something that you know. You're right. And instead of spending, if it's one day, and they spend all this money on one day.
Patty, this is wise advice. We appreciate you calling in. Folks, what say you? Would you rather elope and save that money, maybe use that money to buy a house or a car or something? I don't know. 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have on the program Joe Messina, who is an incredible nationally syndicated radio host based out of Santa Clarita, California. KHTS is our great affiliate there. Now, Joe, you weren't on the show to talk about this subject, but I want you to weigh in here.
Well, I got a question for Grace, though, really. Grace, do you really want a man to plan the wedding?
Oh, no, that'd be a disaster. And I love my husband, but he is a procrastinator. He would have waited to the last second to do everything.
You know, I mean, seriously, I started cracking up laughing when somebody said that. But
it'd be like a Subway, a foot-long Subway sandwich, a keg.
Yep. No, it'd be a tailgate party, right? And they wouldn't even go into the church. They'd just have it out in the parking lot.
That's
it'd be
true.
Much easier that way, right? Mm. So my first wedding, 15, 18K, probably about 30 years ago. That lasted about 7 years. We had the white dress and the rings and the whole nine yards. My wonderful, lovely wife now, I've been married to for 21 years, cost us less than $3,000. And I think we still have the same rings we had when we got married. They were less than $200. So,
wow.
You know, it's not the money. You know that. And it's not all the pomp and circumstance. It's your commitment to God. It's your commitment to your spouse. That's what makes the difference.
Joe, the reason we had you on, I want to make sure we get to this story. Someone sent this to me a few days ago, and I thought, well, wait a second. This story is happening right in the backyard of Joe Messina. The local high school there, Saugus High School, and they have been honoring police. And I don't know how long they've been doing this, but the pregame football festivities, the high school football team comes running out on the field, and they have the American flag, and they also have a thin blue line flag, and they just want to honor the police. I understand you guys have a lot of police that live in that community, and now it's become a big controversy. And again, to set the story up, you also happen to be the president of the local school board.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at Saugus High School, for those of you who don't know, 2 years ago or a few years back in 2019 is where a shooting took place on campus, and we lost three young lives that day. We have a large police community, and the beauty was that right around the corner, these policemen had just finished dropping off some of their kids. They heard shots fired. They turned around, and many off-duty police officers were on campus in a matter of minutes. So it started then. These blue line flags started flying then. They were thanking the police officers for what they did. It was an act of love. It was and respect. Had nothing to do with flying in the face of Black Lives Matter or anything. This picture of this young man has been on the paper pretty much every week for the last 2 years. And recently, one of those hardcore left-wing socialists said, we can't have this. This makes certain people feel uncomfortable. We can't be having this at a football game. I will lodge a complaint with the AG. I will do this. I will do that. And the bottom line with it was certain members of the district caved and said, yeah, we won't have the flag anymore. And I was livid about it. I don't know if you saw the video, but I gave a speech at the board about how this is a slap in the face of our men and women in uniform that would give up their lives to protect these kids, and yet we're backing down because of a small group of people.
I did see the video, and we posted this on our website over the weekend. And, Joe, I really appreciate you brought up an interesting point, because the argument was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that, oh, well, that flag is offensive to BLM. That flag represents white supremacy. And you raised a series of very important questions at that point.
Well, nobody ever asked the question, do you really think that these young people set out to show that they're white supremacists? Do you really think that when they went out on the field, they wanted to say, oh, look at us, you know, that basically the bottom line is we're better than you? And in your, no, that was not their goal at all. From the heart, they wanted to honor these police officers, and we've lost that. Now we're so caught up in the argument that we've lost that. But I got to tell you, Todd, community, it's a great community out here. They've risen up, and on Friday night, there's going to be over 500 people in those stands with blue line shirts on, blue line flags, and it will be a blue line night at the stadium.
I think this is terrific, and this is what a great response to whoever was offended in the community. And it's sad that it had to come to a point where they actually told the kids, you can't bring that flag onto the football field. But now it sounds like everybody in the stands is going to be waving that flag.
Yeah, let's throw them all out, right? I called a very good friend of yours and mine, Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice, and he said, no, this is a freedom of speech issue, and it should be handled as such. So we're going forward. It's a terrible lesson to teach young people coming up through life that if one or two people are bothered by what you're doing, you just stop. You go hide, you stop. And that's not what we should be teaching them. We should be teaching them how to work with people, explain to people what they're doing, and stand up for their own rights and not be afraid to exercise their own rights.
I was watching a lot of the local coverage, and I was so impressed with the young people, teenagers, that were standing up and saying, hey, wait a second, you know, we're just honoring the people that put their lives on the line to protect us and to save us. Why would we not want to do that?
What was beautiful was, you know, local news sources here in northern Venezuela, as I call it. most of those news sources were expecting the kids to say, yeah, it's a bad thing. But when they were interviewing the kids, they were shocked that they made the mistake of doing it live, because you're right. The young people are going, no, it's a sign of respect. There's no reason in the world why the football team shouldn't be able to carry that flag. So they got the total opposite response that they were expecting to get.
All right, our good friend Joe Messina, nationally syndicated talk radio host at our great affiliate there in Santa Clarita. That would be the hometown station, KHTS, and we're just excited to be a part of the lineup there, Joe. And it's really a conservative. There are a lot of conservatives in that part of California.
Yeah, there is. It's one of the last Republican bastions in Southern California as a whole. And you're right, but we are getting more purple. We made the same mistake that some other people made. We were sitting around, you know, complacent and, as what I like to say, fat, dumb, and happy. And we were enjoying life. The school boards were all conservative. We lost one whole school board in two election cycles, totally progressive now. My board went from 5-0 conservative to now what I say 3.5 to conservative. And the bottom line with it is, if we don't pay attention, you know, you people listening right now in smaller areas, if you don't pay attention to who's on your school boards and you don't support real conservative Republicans, I'm a proud conservative Christian Republican, and I'm not afraid to speak to that, you're going to lose these schools. And when you lose the schools, you'll lose the kids. And that's a heck of a fight to have.
Well, it is. And, Joe, we're going to get you back on, and we appreciate the great work you're doing. Congratulations on your great success in radio and also in politics. And it ought to be one heck of a sight there Friday night at the football field.
I'll send you pictures, Todd.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, I will. I'll send you some info. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Joe Messina, ladies and gentlemen, one of the good guys in our business. And we're going to get Joe back on. Gray says, I like Joe. He's a good guy.
He's a nice guy. I don't know. I can just tell he's a genuine kind of guy.
Oh, he really is. And we had a chance to get together. We shared a meal. I was out in Santa Clarita a couple of months back. And got a chance to meet the owners of the radio station. Had a great meal with Joe. And we just had a good time. Just a regular guy.
What kind of food do you
remember? They're like huge steak people.
Okay.
I was so impressed.
California food. Okay.
You see, every time I go to California, I prepare myself in advance. So, for example, the layover is either in Atlanta or Salt Lake City.
Of course.
And so I make sure that I eat meat before I actually land in California.
Oh, it's where all the vegans are.
You never know. You just never know when you're going to get, you know, an Impossible Burger. It's true.
It's possible.
All right, 844-747-8868. Do you agree with Grace Baker that eloping is better? 844-747-8868. May I tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile? They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. You know, we were talking about the school board races. Patriot Mobile's been supporting a lot of conservative Christian candidates for school board. And the only reason they're able to do that is because of your support. Patriot Mobile is an incredible wireless company. They use the same towers that the major carriers use. So that means you're going to get great coverage. If you have a question about that, you can go to their website, patriotmobile.com/Todd, and you can click on the check coverage tab and it'll bring up all the information you need. They have plans for your home, for your business. If you're a veteran or a first responder, they're going to give you an additional discount, and everybody gets free premier activation and a free gift when you use my promo code Todd. So patriotmobile.com/Todd, use the promo code Todd. We'll be right back. Right. Here is Kathy Waterbury. She is the executive director of Confidential Care Ministries. She was on KWAM, Wake Up Memphis, with Tim Van Horn earlier this morning in Memphis. And she was explaining about this Walmart assistant manager, Walmart employee, who refused to sell her gift cards. Cut number 15.
And I said, so you're not going to sell me the gift cards because I'm pro-life? And he said, yes, I'm not comfortable with that.
Wow. So she calls corporate headquarters and they give her the brush off. And that's why we have decided to post the Walmart in Millington, Tennessee, their telephone number on our live show blog, cut number 16.
I gave him my business card and I said, please have the store manager to call me. And he said, ma'am, I'm just doing my job. And I said, well, no, sir, your job is to sell the items that Walmart stocks on its shelves to its customers. And I think you just violated my rights by refusing to sell something to me.
Mm-mm-mm. That's pretty pathetic. Pretty pathetic. Could you imagine if Walmart had refused to sell something to Billy Eichner, the guy who came up with the Bros movie? I mean, it would be all you know what. I'm just saying. Oh, I nearly forgot this, Grace Baker. So Mike Leach, you know, it's kind of like a thing with him. It's his thing.
Trademark.
Where he just offers non-football advice. And he was also weighing in on his favorite Halloween candy. Let's take a listen.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Candy corn.
I mean, I completely hate candy corn. When I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love it. Hopefully you'll get some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
So I don't understand why he doesn't like the candy corn. That's actually a good, I mean, it's not my favorite, but it's not horrible.
It's not horrible, but it's not my favorite.
It's not like those pale...
The Nerd clusters are really good.
I don't think I've had a Nerd cluster.
They're good.
Typically, that's called engineering school.
Very nice, Todd. I see what you did there.
But again, I mean, it's not like it's those pale orange circus peanuts, which are really marshmallows.
Yeah.
Oh, those are disgusting.
Those are weird. Those make my, like, I just think of, like, styrofoam.
And the teeny tiny pumpkin candies, you know, that are hard candies, you know, like the, I don't know.
Don't they look like candy corn, but they're pumpkins?
No, they're pumpkins.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
like the Nerd clusters. I like the gummy bears. Chocolate's always a good.
You see, the worst thing you could get, we have to do a whole segment on this because we've got to come up with the best Halloween candy ever. And it's got to be, what's not on my list? Raisins.
Ew, no. And also that, what was it, like a wax? Some kind of wax candy.
Oh, you had to wax, it was like wax, and then when you broke through the wax covering it, it was like liquid inside.
Oh, no thanks.
The candy cigarettes, that was like eating chalk. I never could understand that.
Not my thing. I also didn't love it. I mean, you know, like when they give you a piece of fruit, you're like, really?
Oh, that's Why? Inappropriate.
You Very just, inappropriate.
You throw it back.
And the caramel apples are cool, but it's like a pain to deal with in the moment. You know, you're like, this is not the time or the place for the caramel apples.
I will say this. We had an employee here. We will not name names. But our first Halloween, the health department shut down Halloween. So we said, forget that. We're going to have the kids come and trick-or-treat at our radio station. And so we sent an employee out, and they came back with all this healthy food. And I said, what are you trying to do? Get us rolled? I mean, come on. You got to have the full-size Snickers. And
not the fun size.
No, not the fun size. Not on the Todd Stearns radio program. Only the full-size candy will do. We're going to do that again this year, by the way. We got to get on that. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Almond Joy. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, we got to get out of here. ToddStearns.com, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of great material for you to check out there. Hang tight. We're going to be with you tomorrow.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.